So what is the answer to that? Well, here are a couple of answers that I think are helpful. One is as follows. Israel is similar to the church, or the church is similar to Israel in a lot of ways. We're both called to be holy. We're both called to represent God. We're both God's people. We're both called to shed light to the surrounding nations of the earth. But similarity is not the same thing as equality. It's a logical fallacy to say similarity is the same thing as equality. For example, in my garage, I've got two cars. They look a lot the same. I mean, they both have a steering wheel. They both have tires. They both have engines. They both have seat belts. But I can assure you those two cars are a completely different make and a completely different model. And they're two separate automobiles. So similarity is really not the same thing as equality, is it? What Peter is saying is the church is similar to Israel in a lot of ways. And he quotes an Old Testament passage to prove that. But he's not making the point that the church is now the new Israel. Now, another argument that is even stronger, and I got this from Arnold Fruchtenbaum, who you've had as a speaker here. Notice, if you will, 1 Peter 1:1. It says, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, and so forth. See that word scattered? That is the word diaspora, or diaspora, depends on which syllable gets the emphasis, as I like to say. But that is a term that means the scattered, and when you study that through, not just in the Bible, John 7:35, James 1:1, but in what's called the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and even in some of the non-canonical writings, what you'll discover is that phrase always refers to the Jews, every single time. In fact, James uses that term in James chapter 1, verse 1. Take a look at that for a moment. That would be one book to the left. James 1, 1. It says, to the 12 tribes, does that sound Jewish to you? Who are dispersed, that's the word diaspora, or scattered. So Fruchtenbaum's point is, look, 1 Peter is not written to the church as a whole. It's written to the Jewish believers within the church. And there are actually, I think, six books in the New Testament that are special in the sense that they are written to Hebrew Christians. Not that we as Gentiles can't learn from them and apply them, but they were written specifically to answer questions that a Jewish Christian was wrestling with. Matthew is one of those books, which traces Christ's genealogy not back to Adam, the way Luke's genealogy does, but back to who? Abraham and David. Matthew doesn't even explain the ritual of washing of hands, a Jewish ritual. Mark explains it. Why does Mark explain it in Mark 7 and Matthew doesn't explain it in Matthew 15? Because Matthew's written to a Jewish audience that understands it already. Mark's written to a Roman Gentile audience that needs understanding of Jewish customs. So Matthew is written to a Jewish audience. What other book? James, written to the 12 tribes. What other New Testament book? The title is The Dead Giveaway. Hebrews, pretty obvious. Jewish Christian audience there. By the way, my wife quotes that verse when she wants me to make coffee in the morning, that title. She says it says Hebrews, not Shebrews. So she uses biblical authority to get me to make the coffee. So some of you ladies might try that out sometime on your husband, see if that works. So we have, now, who is the apostle to the Jews? Peter. Who's the apostle to the Gentiles? Paul. So 1 Peter and 2 Peter are Hebrew Christian books. I'll throw Jude into the mix, because Jude is very similar to 2 Peter in a lot of ways. So Matthew, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Jude, and Hebrews are special books in the New Testament canon in the sense that they are written to Hebrew Christians. So if all of that is true, then when 1 Peter 2:9 tells them that they are a kingdom of priests, he is not speaking to the church at large, but he is speaking to the believing Jews within the church. You follow that? In fact, doesn't Paul always say to the church of or to the churches of? Does Peter do that? He never does that. You don't see in the opener here to the church of or to the churches of. And beyond that, Peter is the apostle to the who? The Jews. So it stands to reason, and you find that in Galatians 2, 7 and 8, stands to reason that Peter would write a book to Jewish Christians. And when you look at these terms here, going back to 1 Peter 2:9, these nouns in Greek are all singular. But you are a chosen race, singular. Now, is the church a race? No. We look around the room here, and the church, even in this room, we have many races present. You are a holy nation, singular noun. Is the church a nation? No. In fact, Paul in Romans 10:19 specifically says the church is not a nation. We consist of many nations who have trusted in Christ. You are a people, singular. Are we just a singular people? No. We consist of many peoples. So the language really doesn't give you the impression that this was written to the church as a whole. The audience really is more tailored towards a Hebrew Christian audience. And so what is Peter's point? Although national Israel as a whole has failed to live up to her high calling as a kingdom of priests, the remnant of believing Jews within the church has lived up to that calling. So what the Amil does is they take a statement aimed at a small group and they make it sound like that statement applies to everyone in the church, when in reality that might not be true. Now, if you disagree with this interpretation, you can go talk to Arnold Fruchtenbaum about it, because I got that interpretation from him. But anyway, you slice this, what you'll discover is, first of all, similarity is not equality. And beyond that, the statement probably is not even a church-wide statement. It's probably a statement aimed at Hebrew Christians within the church, not the church as a whole. And these are things if you say this back to an amillennialist, they'll almost be stunned when you start talking like this, because they've never thought about this at a very sophisticated level. They're just repeating arguments that have been used over and over again in church history. Let me take you to a fourth argument, if I could, and let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. And verse 29, here is a fourth argument that you'll hear quite frequently from replacement theologians and amillennialists. The book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 29. Now, this clearly is written to the Gentile church. And it says there, "And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, or descendants, heirs according to the promise." So the amillennialist says, aha, you see that right there? We as the church are the seed of Abraham. And because we are the seed of Abraham, we must be the new what? The new Israel. But what you have to understand is the word seed is used many different ways in the Bible. There's something called physical descendants. But there's also something called spiritual seed or spiritual descendants. For example, in John 8:44, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." Now, obviously, they weren't physical children of Satan. They were his spiritual seed, spiritual offspring. So when it says that we are the seed of Abraham, what it's saying is we are his spiritual seed. Now, why is that? How was Abraham saved? Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him for righteousness. Genesis 15:16.